Welcome to the Mothers You Know podcast. Thank you for being here. This is a place where we as women remember the spirit God gave us. We know how much we matter, and we believe all things are possible to them that believe on this Savior Jesus Christ. Here at Mothers You Know, we support the parents of young men in the Sons of Helaman and young women in the Daughters of Light programs at Life Changing Services. These programs provide therapeutic and mentoring services for youth struggling with depression, anxiety, self-harm, pornography, and any other unwanted or difficult behaviors. We offer parent support, training, and resources for mothers and fathers seeking the best way to support their loved one. Any mother is welcome to join in the Mothers Who Know classes, support, and training. You do not need to have a child in Life Changing Services to join in. We hope you'll join us. I am Karen Broadhead. I serve as the director of Mothers You Know, and I serve as the parent support specialist at Life Changing Services. I invite you to join with me and other mothers from across the country in our Warrior Mothers Who Know online support and training group. If you have a child struggling with pornography, depression, anxiety, or other difficult behaviors, you will find a safe and uplifting place to learn from other moms and learn principles and strategies to best support your loved one. Please go to motherswhoknow.org to find the online meeting details. We talk about difficult things here with the intent to shine light in dark corners and to eliminate isolation and shame. We are mothers with warrior hearts who are raising the warriors of this generation. We know we must learn to fight well for ourselves first. Then we can confidently support and cheer on our loved ones in the best ways. Welcome to Warrior Mothers Who Know. I like the word warrior. It helps me be brave. And remember that it's supposed to be hard. And I'm supposed to be brave. And it also helps me remember that, that my champion, Jesus Christ, he helps me be brave. And he's already claimed the victory in this war. And even though I'm going through this wilderness that at times seems lone and dreary, it's amazing to notice that, just that word, warrior mothers who know, this meeting is for you and me, and just bringing things on our heart and having a safe place to ask questions and share. Today we're doing something a little different, and we're going to be sharing some of our experiences and maybe highlights or takeaways from General Conference. And so just be thinking about that. And maybe at the same time, we can also be sharing how that affected us as it relates to what we are learning here in Mothers, because that will be in alignment with what our purpose is here too. Just to start us out, I'm trying to pull just this quote up, but I can't seem to just pull the quote up. And I know I also have it in my files, but anyway, I can get the front part of it, so let me just share it like this. This is Elder Jeffrey R. Holland. In his talk, "Tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you," he said, "Only the adversary, the enemy of us all, would try to convince us that the ideals outlined in General Conference are depressing and unrealistic." So I just know that sometimes General Conference can feel glorious and lovely, and here I go, that was a real shot in the arm. And other times General Conference can feel heavy and overwhelming, and it can feel like there's just too much to do, right? It can be overwhelming. So wherever your camp is in that, or somewhere in between, it's all allowed here. But just having an awareness that there is an enemy involved, right? Only the adversary, the enemy of us all, would try to convince us that the ideals outlined in General Conference are depressing and unrealistic, that there's no way that we can improve. And anyway, just being here today we're totally like crushing his head, right? We're kicking his trash. Just being here, talking about General Conference and being covenant-keeping women who are applying it to our lives. In our last meeting, many of you were there and some of you weren't able to be there, but we talked about staying in our truth. And one of the things we tried to do at the end is play a song, and we just couldn't seem to pull it off. We talked about owning our truth, and as it relates to this meeting, because in this meeting, lots of women who come to this meeting have had, do have, or are wondering if they should have a child in a life-changing services program like Daughters of Light or Sons of Helaman. And that is something that Mothers Who Know specializes in, is supporting those mothers who have children in Sons of Helaman or Daughters of Light. And when I've asked Maurice or even some of the graduates from the Sons of Helaman program, and when I've interviewed the women who are in Warrior Women of Light, which is just a little bit older than Daughters of Light, but they learn the same principles, I've interviewed them and asked them, what's one of the things that happens when you start participating in a group setting around mental health or sexual self-mastery or any kind of other behavior in your life that just feels like you're trapped and you need some support in order to heal and in order to change a behavior or a thinking pattern or to deal with some of the trauma that you've had and what the fallout of that is. But specifically, Sons of Helaman is about sexual self-mastery. And so one of the worst things that a lot of these warriors feel when finding out that they're going to go to a group of young men who are going to talk about sexual self-mastery is that's the worst idea in the whole world. I don't want to do that. That sounds horrible and weird and scary and uncomfortable. And it sounds like, yeah, that's not the thing to do. But what they have said and shared is one of the first powerful things that happens there is this realization that you are not fighting alone. You're not fighting alone. That there are other really amazing young men or young single adult men or men. There's just really wonderful warriors there, just like you, who are working on the same thing you're working on and being awesome in their lives in other areas. And together you're stronger. One of the things that they learn is who the real enemy is, because that's a big one that they learn right off the bat, and it is, you are not your worst enemy. If your child has been stuck in this trap of pornography and dealing with to work on his own, maybe without us even knowing that was going on for a long time, right? There's something the adversary has the ability to do, and it is to stir up contention in ourselves about ourselves because we aren't aligned with what we know to be right, the kind of person we want to be. And so we start identifying with our lost battles rather than identifying with the amazing, incredible, divine person that we are, and that mortality is about battling and our behaviors don't define our identity. But Satan wants us to think this behavior defines who you are. This behavior defines your identity. And so you are your own worst enemy because you're the person that keeps hurting you. And in our previous meeting, we learned about not every voice in your head is a trusted voice. And as it has to do with this meeting, I just want you to know we're going to play the song that goes along with what we shared in our last meeting at the end of this meeting. But as it has to do with the distorted thinking that the adversary, when I learned that the adversary was my enemy, that I wasn't the enemy, and that a lot of the things that I had come to think about myself or other people, my relationships or my abilities or my worthiness had to do with me believing in the thoughts in my head that weren't trusted thoughts. And so one of the things that the young women and the young men in the programs at Life Changing Services are learning is that, you know what? You have an enemy. He thinks you're awesome. And he understands how valiant and noble and amazing you are. It could be that you're struggling so severely because you're that amazing. It could be that there's extra effort happening to put you in a place of bondage and seeing yourself as the enemy. That could be true, right? And so they're learning, hey, not every thought that I have is a trusted thought. So we talked about that in Stay in Your Truth in our 9 a.m. meeting. And so I want to share with you something that is amazing to me. So I have the coolest dad, and he's been so diligent and so good at keeping his covenants in his life and very exemplary at being consistent at doing obedient things. But he also has been extremely unavailable emotionally and physically in my life. And it isn't because he's bad or mean, it's because it's kind of part of who he is. And it's a trait that I've come to learn that really makes him sad, that he wishes he wasn't like that. But no matter how hard he's tried, he has such a hard time connecting emotionally with people or extending affection. And so you can imagine how in my little girl mind, being a very sensitive child, how I interpreted those things. And just throughout my life, how having a mom that was very outgoing and really playful and affectionate, and then my dad, who was not like that. So I had a lot of distorted thinking happening in my life growing over the years about whether I was lovable or not, thinking I was worthless. I didn't know what to do to earn my dad's love. And I know that I'm not alone in this kind of experience, but I just wanted, as it relates to stay in your truth and miracles happening. My mother passed away in April of 2022. And I was calling her every Monday morning at 9 o'clock for years. And whenever I called home and my dad would answer the phone, it was just stop talking to your dad as fast as you possibly can, because he doesn't know what to say and you don't either. And so just be nice and ask if mom's there or something, right? And he was really happy about that too. That didn't hurt his feelings. Yeah, I'll get mom, right? And when my mother passed away, I have 6 siblings. I don't know if we all felt like this, but I certainly felt like this is going to be so bad. It's going to be so bad because I don't know how to have a relationship with my dad. I've just written it off, like maybe in the next life we're going to figure this out, but I just don't know how to do this. So I'll just be respectful and kind, but I'm not really sure how to feel comfortable in this relationship. And I've come a long way in overcoming those beliefs and understanding that he's doing the best that he can and that he loves me and cares about me. And I can see so many evidences of that in my life now as an adult with more wisdom, right? And someone who can identify the enemy in their life. And my father had been involved in the calls that I'd had with my mom on Monday mornings the last 3 weeks of my mom's life. And he cared for her, and she was on hospice and bedridden. And he spent all day, every day with her, just sitting in the room with her. And he was so good to her. And so when I would call, he would answer the phone and my mom couldn't really talk to me anymore. And so I would just have her listen to me on the phone and I would just talk while she would listen. But then the week after she died, Monday rolled around and I had the strongest feeling. And I think most of it at the time, I thought this is so connected to just my mom wanting to please her and knowing that it's what she would want. But it was terrifying to me. And it was, you need to call your dad every Monday at 9. And I was like, heck no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. That's way too much trauma, way too much hard, way too hard. But so I texted my dad and I said, Dad, I've been calling mom for years at 9. What do you think about me calling you at 9 on Mondays? And he just texted back, okay, that's it. And so for the first month and a half of talking to my dad, I would get off the phone and be in a severe distorted thinking battle. I would be full of shame and full of just working through, this is so hard, right? It's hard to talk to him. It's hard to have a relationship with him. But now I've called him every week since April of 2022. And yesterday we talked about General Conference. And as it has to do with not every voice in your head is a trusted voice. And knowing that truth of staying in my truth and honoring my dad's truth and honoring that Jesus Christ can help us find a miracle here, right? That he can help us figure this out. And I went from having 10-minute conversations with my dad to now, yesterday we talked for 90 minutes. And it's just been amazing to me to notice how I'm getting to know my dad as a friend. And that distorted thinking that I was having in my head that there's no way to have a relationship with him. That's just not possible. It's been crushed. That lie has been crushed. Because I have so much evidence to the contrary. But this is what he, as we talked about what our takeaways and what we thought about conference and shared things, this is one of the things that I know about my dad and his experience in General Conference. And this is my big share of what my takeaway from General Conference is, as it's related to not every voice in your head is a trusted voice, and that you're not your own worst enemy. What's wrong with you? Why doesn't your dad love you? What's wrong with you? Why can't you be nice enough to just want to talk to him, right? What's wrong with you? Why can't you just get over yourself and all your awkward and just go hug your dad? So my whole life, stuff like that. But now it's just amazing. Now when I see him in person, I can hold his hand. Just stand there and hold his hand. He would never reach out and take my hand, but I feel perfectly comfortable holding his hand and not feeling like he hates doing this. He doesn't want to do this. And I can hug him and I can joke around with him. And I'm noticing that I know things about him that nobody else in my family knows. So he says, just before we hung up, he says, you know what? This is my big takeaway from General Conference. And several things he tried to share with me, and when he gets emotional, he just can't talk. So he's really tender-hearted, I've come to realize. And so several times in our call, he would start sharing and he'd say, I just can't. And he'd say, I just can't, right? Can't say, I guess I can't share this. I can't talk it. I'm like, that's amazing, see? So he says, Heavenly Father and his son, Jesus Christ, are with us. They are there to help us. They're there to comfort us and they're there to give us guidance, and we are never alone. I was able to write down word for word, that's what he said to me. I've never heard my dad say that in home evening or to me personally. But now I was able to share that with my children. That's what Grandpa's takeaway was. But he is We both talked about the beautiful music in General Conference, and this is something he shared that I did not know. Two things. One was when Sister, the General Relief Study President, not coming to my mind her name, when she spoke about prayer and spoke to all of the children, she talked about the song, A Child's Prayer. And then right after, the choir sang it. So he said, I had a really great experience with that. He's describing to me that girl, that woman's talk, what it was about. And then he said, and then after, and then he couldn't talk. Right. And then after, finally he said, after I'm like, Dad, I'm fine just waiting. Don't worry. I think it's beautiful that you're tenderhearted about these things. So I'm not uncomfortable or embarrassed. Did I just say that to my dad? I'm not uncomfortable or embarrassed. You're my dear friend, my beloved father, and I'll wait for you to say it. So I waited for a really long time. And he said, and they sang that song, right? I could have just said it for him and he would have said, yeah, that, right? And then he said, your mother would sing that song over and over again while she was laying in her bed. And so that was just so special to me. I didn't know she sang that song. I knew that she sang, God loved us, so he sent his son over and over again. But I didn't know she sang a child's prayer. And then he said, and then there was one more song that really I had. It was really neat to me. And he said, it was the one, his eye is on the sparrow, right? I'd never heard that song ever. I thought someone just had barely written it, right? I was like, what song is this, right? And he says, no, that song's been around for a really long time. But afterwards, after conference, I couldn't get it out of my mind. I was like, how do I know that song? How do I know that song? I kept thinking, how do I know that song? And he said, and then it hit me. It was Maisie. And he said, on our mission, Mom and I in Georgia, on our mission, we went to visit this woman who was a shut-in, who lived with her children, one of her kids, but she could never come to church, but she was such a Christian woman and she had some disabilities. And we would always go visit her every week. We'd go visit Maisie. And I remember them talking about Maisie. And then at the end of our visit, we would pray with Maisie. And Maisie sometimes would say, I would like to pray today. So she would say the prayer. And he said, the first time this happened, it was a little bit surprising to us, but she sang her whole prayer. She sang it out loud while we bowed our heads, closed our eyes. And that is the song that she would often sing, is a verse from that his eye is on the sparrow. He goes, that's where I heard that song. So pretty cool. A big battle in my life that I'm now starting to change, but it's just so wonderful to notice that being able to talk about our truth helps us stay in our truth. And it's amazing the relationship that I'm able to have now with my dad. And it was so cool to think, look at me talking about General Conference with my dad for 90 minutes. Okay. So ladies, this is all about your General Conference experiences and your takeaways, and it has no structure. This meeting has no structure. We're not going to say, let's start with the first talk. Let's start with the first session, right? It's just, hey, what's on your heart and mind? What are some of the experiences you've had? And they don't have to be glorious. They can even be like disturbing, but they just are honest and we're just sharing some of the things that we took away from General Conference. And yeah, then you could say, I've got something to share. That's awesome. So please just keep raising your virtual hand. But if you're like, I don't know how to find that, you can just unmute yourself and we'll know, hey, I think she's trying to say something, and we'll get you talking, or you can even show yourself on your video and raise your hand. That's awesome too. Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah, I loved that talk about Revelation, and I think it was, I don't know how to say his name, it's Ku or Dush Ku or Alec, I don't know. Anyways, he talked about the rays of light, and a lot of times I want that pillar of light. I'm like, I want revelation. What's happening? Why isn't God giving me revelation? I want it to be like really noticeable. And I just loved how he, and I didn't have a chance to jot it all down, so I'm really excited to get the written talks. But he listed a bunch of different ways that we receive revelation. And it was things I hadn't even thought of before. Like when you feel that love from the Savior, that's revelation. When you feel peace or assurance, that's revelation. When you have a thought, obviously, there's some of the basic ones. But I think all throughout these meetings that we have together, I'll have revelation all the time, but not realize that's what it is. When you are talking about your father and stuff and how it makes me feel, and that's revelation. Those are those rays. Mm-hmm. I loved that. And realized that my father's always revealing things to me. And then I really felt, gosh, I don't know about you guys, but it's probably a theme I needed to hear, was prayer was like all throughout everything, I thought. And I'm like, the Spirit was telling me, you need to make this a top priority. You need to figure out how to pray. You need to do better on this. I need to work on this. And I loved I don't know who it was, said, we need to wait for the Spirit. As we're praying, wait for the Spirit to lead you into the prayer that you should be praying. So at least that's the message I got, that as I'm praying, be listening for that Spirit that will start telling me things I should pray for and how I should pray. And let that start taking over instead of my will and what I want to offer. Let the Spirit guide. And I thought that was powerful for me. And then the last thing was temple was everywhere. And I thought, what am I going to do to make worshiping in the temple more meaningful, worshiping the Savior? And how can I get there more, you know, often? With no traffic, it takes me a couple hours to get to the temple. And usually the way home is even worse, but because it's in LA. But so what am I going to do? And what promises, the prophet told us a lot of promises we could have from doing this. And I'm thinking, which one of these promises, what do I want? And to ask specifically, Heavenly Father, for that promise. I want this promise. I desire this. I think sometimes we're shy to ask that stuff, but I think he basically told us that these are things we could have. So why not? Let's ask for it. So that's what I got. I loved conference. I was sad when it was over. I wish I could do that every Sunday.
Ah, so beautiful. So good. You know what? This morning I prayed different. So thank you for that.
I just have so many thoughts from conference. So I'm hoping that this will all come out in a good way. I had prayed, it was interesting, the week before, so Easter Sunday, I was asked to give the closing prayer and sacrament meeting. And I just felt very prompted to say something in the prayer about conference and having our hearts and our minds opened going into conference so that we'd be able to receive the revelation that each of us as individuals need to receive. And so I had been thinking about conference all week. And a Friday, I had just some things that were just, I don't know, out of my control that put me in a spin. And I had to deal with that on Friday. Saturday, I get to conference and the same thing just sent me back into a spin. Just, I had to help somebody and it just didn't set me in a good frame of mind. And I was trying to do my best. But so I was listening to conference on Saturday and hoping that my kids, they're all adults and they were at home and hoping that they would listen. And they did. And my son, who struggles with his self-mastery, was the first one up and was down to conference on all sessions. And I'm like, okay, good. But yet Satan was still hitting me. And Sunday came. And I was a Sunday morning session. Oh, Satan was on me more than I could even handle. And I thought, man, I have been praying all week to have my heart and my mind open. And I said, Oh, Heavenly Father, I just kept praying through the morning session. Heavenly Father, please help me. I want to get something out of conference, please. I said, and I thought when Satan would then put in, but your son is still struggling. But then me personally thought, but he's here in the room. How much he's listening, I don't know, but he's here. He was the first one up. He's here. And so then I don't even know which session it was. I think it was Saturday morning. Yeah, it was Elder Curran's talk. And I just love him. I think he's, I have lots of favorite apostles, but I just think he's one of my favorite ones now. And he, a couple of quotes that he gave out of that, he said, the Father's beautiful plan is designed to bring his children home, not to keep them out. God is in relentless pursuit of you. The purpose of this earth is to give an opportunity to learn, grow, make mistakes, repent, and return home. And I think that's just us all the time. We're all here. We're going to make mistakes. And as we come to our mother's classes, and as we learned this morning to stay in our truth, the truth tool, and our Heavenly Father wants us to come home. And he's not going to put roadblocks up. He's going to remove those roadblocks. But it's up to us. We just have to strive. We're not going to get it perfect. We just have to strive. And one of the last things that Elder Curran said is, the Savior goes in search of the lost sheep until he finds them. He does not put up roadblocks. He removes them. And I think of that picture. It's just a new picture. At least it is to me. I've not seen it before. And it's the one of the, it's a little lamb standing in like this forest. And in the back, you can see Christ back there. And when I heard that quote, I thought of my son who's struggling. And that is the picture that he wanted for Christmas. And that's what he asked for him and my dad, my husband, to give him as part of his Christmas gift. And it's a little one. He just has a 5x7 and it sits on his desk because he thinks of himself as the lamb and that Christ is going to come and bring him home. And so when Elder Curran talked, I'm sorry, I'm so emotional, but when Elder Curran talked, it was, he is going to bring us home. We just have these struggles that we have to go through. But our purpose is to go home. And he wants us, and he will remove those roadblocks in our way. I also got out of the temple, and I'm grateful for the temples. And so many are so close to me. And I always think of those church members who have to travel so far to get to one. And so I pray for all of you that have to go farther to get to a temple. And I'm 30 minutes from two. And the Syracuse Temple is 2 minutes from my house. And it will be done at the end of the year. And how grateful I am for that. But just know that I do think about those sisters in the church who can't get there as often. And how one day I hope that there is temples, more temples in your areas that you can. So that's my thoughts.
So beautiful. So good. Oh, I just want to say, I see you fighting with light. So much light, right? As it has to do with staying in our truth, you having that thought, I know I'm under attack here. I can feel this satanic distortion, this feeling that I get that it's not okay, right? But you, I think one of moms being a cheerleader for their children who are battling and willing to be in the fray and get all bloody and messy about it, right? And then we can see it. We know that's what's going on. And so we still worry and we still get triggered, right? We get triggered when they're not doing good and we want to do something and there's nothing we can do, right? And so we just have to really protect that space on how we own our field right there. But you saying he's in the room, but he's in the room, right? That's you fighting with light, fighting with truth, fighting with what's real. And then what you shared was, I just thought that's literally you using the truth tool, because the lie is we're failing, he's failing, I'm failing, we're still having this problem, right? But for you to speak truth, which is literal and transparent right in front of you. And then what you said about the picture that he wants, what a good, noble, worthy warrior that guy is. So for you to see it and speak it and not be caught up in the fray of, oh, this is all just never going to get better. It's amazing. Thank you so much. I love what you shared. Yeah, Elder Kieran's talk brought so much hope that way. Okay, BJ, you're on.
Thank you. This is so good. The quote that you shared by Elder Holland from Tomorrow the Lord Will Do Wonders talk several years ago. And because sometimes I'll hear a talk and I will think, it sounds like there's not a lot of hope with some of the talks, that when I think what's being shared, and this life is a time to prepare. If your loved ones don't look like they're preparing, then that's what I'm hearing, with a little distortion happening. And I, and other talks, I just grab right onto, because I'm like, okay, this is, this seems to contradict what someone else says, but I like what this talk is saying about their children will return again from the land of the enemies and all that stuff. So anyway, I don't know quite how to sift all that out. But one thing that I noticed is just not even things that people actually said, but just little heart notes in the margins. Had to miss quite a bit of conference just because of my husband's parents and my parents are having some real issues with health that were requiring some people to be present. Anyway, but I just noticed some notes like this one. When I think of something that's outside of what they said, I just like to put a heart in my notes, and then I just feel like that's some inspiration. So send your son that's on a mission. Maybe invite him to do this exercise. It's a one that Karen mentioned a little earlier. But as far as what the boys do in the groups or the men, but instead of why do you fight? Like, why did you go on a mission? Answer these two questions I wanted to send to him. Why did you go on a mission? Why are you staying? Anyway, just use those questions. That I had that thought to send that to him. And then another thought I had was make an appointment to attend the temple this week, which I got in a sticky spot on. I was getting on LDS tools, and then my password and my son's password were messed up. So that hasn't happened yet. So this is a good reminder. Make an appointment to attend. Another thing that I put in this notes that weren't even in conference were, tell your son that's on his mission that his younger 16-year-old brother prays for him every time he prays. Also to share with my family my own kind of temptation to be dishonest about a situation and just in my life right now. And I don't know why, but maybe that's just something that's good for them to see how I try and work through temptations. Anyway, that's all I'll share, but I just am grateful for those opportunities to just have personal revelation as we're trying to be in the right places at the right time. That's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your great example of having eyes to see and ears to hear, even though it's not ideal and I'm not sitting in my living room with my notebook and my pen listening to every word, that you could see, oh, I'm in it. I'm totally doing it. And I'm just writing down little nuggets that are coming to me, and that personal revelation was happening even though. Thanks for that. Okay, Nancy, thank you.
Okay, this time, I think it was either this month or last month, and I guess it was last month, in the Liahona, Elder Bednar wrote an article on how to take nuggets out of talks and how to make columns, which I tried this time. I'd never done that. The first column is the doctrine or principle that they're trying to teach. And the second one is the invitation to act. And the third one is the promised blessings. And as I did that through each talk, it was amazing how I was able to zero in and not just, it didn't just fly over my head. I was really able to pick important things out of talks. Also, as I went into this, it's going to be hard. As I went into this conference, my question was, is afterlife really okay? Is it, I mean, my husband is quite ill and he's fixing to have some more tests and probably and possibly not good ones, not going to turn out good. And it really, that's how I went into the conference, thinking heavy hearted. But then I realized that when Elder Holland got up to speak, that he is quite ill. He's got to be quite ill. And I don't know if you noticed in his words, he said he didn't know how many weeks the doctor would give him. Oh, months. He didn't talk in years by any means. And then when Elder Eyring spoke, I had that same feeling. Well, it's not going to be a sad thing. That's going to be a glorious day. Whatever happens, it's just changing rooms, as we've heard before. And so that just brought so much peace to me personally, which I needed. And of course, Elder President Nelson and President Oakes, just, I don't know, they're amazing. They're amazing. And if I can only have half the wits they have at that stage, I'll be delighted and welcome whatever happens. That's all.
So beautiful. Thank you. Yeah. The real of our lives, the real circumstances of our life are right. Just how I know your husband's been struggling with some kind of a limitation in his health for a long time, years, right? And then to recently find out that now we're headed into something more, and you're so cute and so inspiring about the season of your life and what it means, right? And that it's part of Heavenly Father's plan, but it still brings discomfort and worry and fear and sadness, right? So I'm just so grateful that you're here. We need your voice and your faith. Thank you so much. Oh yeah, if you gals ever need just a big hug, then you need to come to the 6 p.m. Team Mom Power group on Tuesday evenings. It's the grandma group. And everybody in there except for one is a grandma. But yeah, one of the women, how old is she? Is she 89?
She's 88 or 89.
Yeah, she sits in a class and just sometimes she wants to participate and sometimes she doesn't. But it's been amazing to notice even what she's, yeah, the miracles that have happened in her life just from sitting and listening to us for a long time. It's neat. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. What else, ladies? What else did you? Thank you. You're on.
I had to look up which conference talk started the story that I'm going to tell. And it's Susan Porter's from Sunday morning. This past week, apparently it's Dad week. This past week, I knew my dad had just days. And he's been estranged from all of us, his kids, for our whole adult lives. We had a rough childhood with him. And so at the end, he was completely alone. And I didn't think that I was going to go visit him. I just was like, I'm at peace with where we've left things. I've done all that I can do. I called him. I did all the things. And then just a few days before conference, it just really was pressed upon me, like, you need to go visit him. And so my husband dropped everything and drove us. We're in Idaho and he drove us to Las Vegas. So that was a long trip. And we finally got to this home that he has been staying in it, and he's in hospice now, but he just has this half of a room with just a bed and a dresser, not very many things. He was no longer aware or conscious. And when we walked in the room, there was just this big bubble of stay away from me. And so I just remember going, why was I supposed to come if he doesn't want me here? If there's like his body was there, but he wasn't. And yet there was this feeling of just go away. Just do not come near me. I couldn't go close to his bed. And the feeling in the room was just miserable. And I thought, why would Heavenly Father ask me to come down just to feel something I already knew, that this poor man is miserable because of the choices that he has made in his life? And that for me, I lost my dad when I was 28. I'm now almost 50. So for me, my parents, my ideal of them, they died when I was 28. So for me, this isn't a sad thing in that regard. He's been out of my life for so long, and I've been able to come to terms with that and not take it personally. I see things from his point of view, and maybe one of the reasons he was just such a miserable, had miserable things going on. And now that I learn about these attacks, I just can't imagine the attacks he was feeling. So we didn't stay very long. We did get to talk to his hospice nurse, and she filled in a lot of blanks, and that was cathartic. And so I thought, okay, maybe I was just supposed to come and talk to her. So we left, and I thought, okay. And then we went up to my husband's family and had a lot more cathartic events happen throughout the weekend. And finally, Sunday morning, we're like, okay, it's time to head back. And on the way down, I was like, I don't know why, but I think we have to go visit my dad again. And he's okay, if that's okay. And so we did. And as we were, so this is an hour out, and we're listening to conference. And as we pull up to this home that he's staying in, Sister Porter is talking about her dad and how she had prayed since she was a little girl that her dad would join the church, and that what she could do was be an example. And then how he finally did come and join the church, and to not give up. My husband looks at me as we drive up. That was like directly to you, right? And so I thought, I have no idea what I'm going to say to him. Let me say a prayer. And you know how when you're guided in prayer of what to say, it was this beautiful prayer where I was able to see a little bit of eternity, where I could see, help him, help everybody in my family to know that the reason we're all in so much, the reason it hurts is because we still love each other. The reason he's held such a grudge against my mom all these years is because he still loves her and she still loves him. And there was just this sweet, peaceful feeling. And I felt this great courage to go in. And as soon as the nurse opened the gate to let us in and asked us who we were there to visit, I said his name, and she said, oh, he just passed. And so that experience of, and he had been worried. One of the things that the hospice nurse told us, that he had been worried. He's, I don't know how I'm going to get, it's time to go home, but I don't know how I'm going to get from here to there. And so my intention was, I was going to say, it's okay, and let go. And sometimes we need help, and it's okay. And I was writing this speech and everything the whole way. But when she said he passed, I just felt this triumphant joy, like he made it, and I could see a path forward for my family. And it was this miracle. And just, I couldn't believe how when that talk just lined up perfectly for where we were, and it put me in the right mindset, which continued to put me in the right mindset. So that was a really neat thing. Then I made the mistake of sharing it with my brothers, and I shouldn't have done that because they are not in the same place, but still had my family to deal with, and they are not in the same place. I just assumed that peace disseminated throughout my family. It did not, but I was grateful for conference that it directly and in that moment affected my personal life right there.
Oh, goodness. It makes me want to say, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing that he's so in the details of our life in the choreography that he does?
Oh, that's a good word, choreography. I love that. Yes, that's great. So I'm a choir teacher. And so when we put choreography to yeah. So exactly when this word happens, you do this action. That's so cool. Choreography. I love that.
So good. That must have been the spirit too, to say that, have me say that.
Yes.
That's so relatable to you.
Yes. Thank you.
The spirit is here. I just can't help but point out how glorious eternal truth is. It's just glorious, the eternal truth that we have, and how it can literally penetrate, shatter the trauma, the pain, the so many hard things, right? And so for you to go and do, not knowing beforehand what you should do, right? Nephi, okay, I'm gonna drive over there. I don't know what to say. Let's have a prayer for you to open this little door that says eternal truth. Did you ever watch the Power Ranger shows? Like when they'd say, power up now, that's what you were doing. And so it's eternal truth. I'm led, I got to say, I felt the spirit strongly and so much eternal truth came into my prayer and I was able to speak it. That prepared you to go in and have the experience you had that was so transforming and beautiful.
Yes. And I forgot to say that when we did go in his hospital room that second time, there was peace. That bubble of go away was gone. That misery. He was home safe. And I just felt that he was home safe. And that for all the pain that he's caused others, he's got just as much pain. And God is the best judge. And God will put him in the best place for him. And there was just peace. And I guess I had expected that the first time and then just thought maybe this is just to show me that he didn't change. And that I just always assumed that for both of my parents, that we would have a chance to reconcile, that they would come back to the gospel before they died. And neither of them did. Mm-hmm. And yet I've had some healing experiences with them. So that wasn't exactly what I thought. There's enough of a glimpse mm-hmm. that it offers hope. And I still don't know what choices they're going to make. And I don't know who of my family is going to be with me in the eternities. But to know that once we go home to that God who has given us life, we are safe. And that he has a place prepared for us.
Thank you. Thank you so much. BJ, could you please say your comment out loud? It's such a true, good comment. The one you put in the chat.
I was just noticing, it seemed like Sister Porter talked about a prayer of a young girl and all those years and years later. And sometimes that didn't even happen in my lifetime that I saw. But I love how Shauna I just was noticing that nothing really changed on the outside. Like, she and her father had an amazing conversation and they were able to reconcile, but a huge shift happened on the inside with the help of the spirit and just her trying to be there. It's neat to notice that.
So beautiful. Wow. Wait, we talk a lot about being available for God to do his work, right? And that was such a beautiful example of you becoming available. So good. All right.
Isn't it sweet just to notice how much Heavenly Father had Shauna in mind, because her dad didn't really need that at the moment. He was going to have it all clear in view. But it just makes me think of how much he was thinking of you and how that would, just how personal his promptings and help is. It's pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Ladies, thank you so much for sharing and for using your voices to share your experiences and your takeaways and highlights from General Conference. Oh, I just am so grounded in my testimony that the Spirit is the teacher here. And so if ever you're feeling like what I have is really dumb, I'm not really going to say what I have to say, right? It will just sound weird. I won't know how it will come out. That's exactly what I said when she started talking. There's so much, I don't know how this is going to come out. But because she made herself available for God to do his work by opening her mouth, it came out so beautifully, right? So just know that we're serving each other in this meeting by allowing the Spirit to teach us. So thank you so much for sharing. Okay.
What she meant is that you can speak after me, because I saw your hand up for a moment. All right. So I had the opportunity this last week to do activities days in my ward. And what I did for the activities days night was I had made copies of the pictures of all the apostles and the prophet. And I made two copies, and we played a matching game so they could learn their names and know who they are before conference started. And then I had also done a little bit of research about each of the 15 people. And at the time, I was just thinking, I'm fulfilling this because this is part of my calling. But I really learned a lot when I did that, because I learned about each of the general authorities that they've gone through a lot of things in their life, and that's why they are who they are, and that Christ has taught them. And so as I was attending conference this weekend, my question is how to handle relationships that in this life that I really don't foresee any real change for a long time. And yet I want to keep those relationships good, and I want to do what Heavenly Father wants me to do. And there were many talks that helped me to think about my daughter in particular, and my son, but my daughter is always in the front of my mind lately. But Elder Piper, I think his name is Piper, Paul B. Piper, he said that trust is the foundation of all relationships. And when he said that, I know that he was talking about us trusting in Christ and trusting in Heavenly Father, but I also believe that he did say all relationships. And I thought about how I could be a more trustworthy person in the relationships that I have with my kids, and how sometimes I need to speak truth, even though it might not be taken very well. I think it's important, because then my children and those around me can trust what I'm going to say, because I'm not changing my decision based on whether I think they're going to be upset about it. But I am always speaking truth, what Heavenly Father wants me to say. And then I too also loved Elder Kieran's talk, and specifically when he said, God is it in relentless pursuit of you. And I immediately thought, he is in relentless pursuit of my daughter. And so I can let go of thinking I have to do something to captivate her and bring her back to Heavenly Father. So I'm grateful for that. And then finally, Brian K. Taylor, he said a few things that really helped me a lot. I sometimes feel bad that I can't let go of worry or let go of the pain that I feel, because I see this loss of my children, who I remember them as children who, when they were between the ages of 8 and 11, had testimonies of Jesus Christ and loved primary and loved the primary songs. And so I see them like that. And so to me, it causes my heart to ache that they no longer have that feeling. And so sometimes I feel like, oh, do I not have faith? Because if I had greater faith, I wouldn't be stuck in that pain or something. But so Brian K. Taylor said, no pain is wasted. It builds our character. And I thought that is a true statement. And from the things that I learned about President Nelson and Elder Eyring and all of the apostles that I studied last week, they did go through pain and suffering and hardship in their lives, and that's what built their character. And so I need to look at that as something that should lead to gratitude, rather than that I'm weak or that I should be stronger. He said, life's trials prove us. And then he quoted the scriptures that said, behold, I have refined thee. That our needing to go through the trials and the things that cause us pain, when we go through, that's how we are refined. He also said that without God, darkness and despair cause more darkness. And it reminded me that every day I need to do everything that I can to keep Christ as the center of my day. Because if I keep Christ there and remember the Heavenly Father's eternal plan of happiness, then there's no way that I will remain in darkness. I'll be able to see the light. And he shared three things that he thought were important. He said, number one is that stronger faith comes by putting Christ first. He said that brighter hope comes from visualizing our eternal destiny. And he quoted President Nelson when he talked about that. And the last one was greater power comes by focusing on joy. And so those were really helpful things for me, because I know that I need to get back into the pattern of focusing on the blessings that I have in my life and to see the good things that are happening, even though there are a lot of hard things that are happening. If I can focus on the joys, the things that are bringing me joy, then the darkness will not look as dark. And so I'm just grateful for that. I'm thankful that I had opportunity to listen to conference and grateful that I could be here today. It's not very often I get to come on Tuesday, so I appreciate that. And I appreciate everybody sharing what they're learning. And because I do believe that even though I listened to the same talks that you did, you may have heard something I did not hear. So I'm grateful for you doing that.
I do love how he said, I don't have to do something to captivate her. I thought, I've never said that before in my whole life. Captivate her. I was thinking, that's a good word, because isn't that what I want to do? I totally want to do something that will captivate you, that will make you think, I totally want to trust what you're saying and do what you say. I think what you think. I just love that. Thank you. So good. It's amazing how we can let go and let God. It's amazing how when we can let go, often that's when we see God or let God, so we can actually see him doing it, like doing the captivating in his little teeny drops of, here's one drop, and there's another drop, and I'm just got my eye on you. Thank you.
I have loved everything everyone has said. It's been so powerful, every single one. I loved so many talks, but a couple that as you're talking have I've been brought back to my remembrance. And I loved seeing Elder Holland, because we hadn't seen him for a while. And I also heard, but before he said that, he said, while he was so ill, he had visited the brink of eternity. And then he was told to come back. And I loved hearing that I loved it for a lot of reasons, but how awesome that we know. Honestly, don't you want to know what he heard over there that he said he can't tell? I do. But nevertheless, he told us what he could tell us, which all of us to shape up. And he's going to declare the word morning, noon, and night for days, weeks, and months. And I heard also that it's not going to be years. And I just thought, oh, we just need to enjoy every single second we have with these powerful men. And I just love the way that he talks with such faith, and he makes you feel like you personally know him, like you could sit right in a room with him and visit with him. And my dad is the opposite. Elder Holland annoys him because he's so personal. So he likes Elder Oak or President Oaks because he just talks right to you factually. But anyway, so I loved Elder Holland so much. And I love listening also to President Nelson, and I loved learning and remembering the stories of the Kirtland Temple. And I went and read VNC 109, and I read it differently this time, trying to hear Joseph Smith reading that dedicatory prayer of that temple, because It's always so awesome because we can look backwards and we can see what happens, especially now that we've acquired that temple again, or the, yeah, that house of the temple. But at the time when that prayer was uttered, they didn't know what was going to happen. And when you read the dedicatory prayer, he talks about the great sacrifices that were made to build it, and that they offered it out of poverty and great tribulation. But here is the offering. And what you had said earlier, Karen, that liking it to us is that they showed up, they did the best they could, and they gave this temple. And then those powerful things that happened inside that temple. But inside that dedicatory prayer, he prayed for the saints. He prayed for them to have strength. He prayed that they would be able to do so many mighty things, which may have sounded one way because they're sitting there thinking, we've accomplished this temple. Now we're going to get this, these blessings in this way, because this is the prayer that Joseph Smith answered or offered. But he also talked about the enemies when he said, the pit that they build for us, let them fall into that pit. So that was a human thing to say. Mm-hmm. You know? And he also prayed for their souls, that their hearts would be softened. But anyway, it just was so human to me. And President Nelson talked to us about the great things that happened in that temple. And you could just hear, but in reading Joseph Smith's dedicatory prayer, I just thought they were blessed with every one of those things, but probably not in the way that they thought at that time. They were then going to have to cross the plains. And their testimonies probably were so tried because they lost that temple when they were run out again. And here they'd sacrifice so much, but still they were so blessed as they crossed the plains. And during that time, they were strengthened in that hardship and that tribulation so that they could do a mighty hard thing to get to a really a better place and to be able to get to the promised land and establish the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I just kept thinking, man, it's just so amazing to me because I can get so stuck in the right now. Like, this isn't working out right now. And I'm so mad that it's not, because it's been 20 years and I'm really getting sick of it. And then I'm like, but oh my goodness, it went on and on for so many people that have lived before us and the hardships, and all of us are tried. And so my final thing is, and it was President Holland, Elder Holland, who said it when he talked about his wife, who he prayed that she would live, right? And he said, our prayers are always answered, but not in the way always that we want. But then we always hear it a different way, but he said it differently than I'd ever heard it, but in the way that it will perfect us. And I'm like, so that was so powerful. And then just ending it with President Nelson, I just think all of those prayers, even that dedicatory prayer where they probably thought it looked one way, and then they encountered so many more hardships, but it was all to help them become perfected, to become more like their Heavenly Father and their Savior, so they would be prepared to meet their God. I just thought it was powerful.
So good. Yeah, and thanks for putting in there the things that you went and read, right? To also add, because I haven't had an opportunity to go read what President Nelson invited us to go read in Doctrine and Covenants about that dedicatory prayer. So good. Okay, you're on. And then we're going to go to, because I see you.
Hi. I've missed everybody. I don't know if anyone noticed because so many people attend these, but this meeting and the one before it for the last several weeks have been so inconsistent. I've had a lot going on, and so it's great to be here now. I was just listening to the wonderful things that were shared when I was finally able to come to the meeting, and I thought of something while they were speaking, and I thought maybe to share it. I was thinking that I was talking just now about this piece of, and this has been on my mind a little last couple of days, our home being a temple for us. And then taking that a step further about us being a temple for the Spirit. And then bringing that to what she shared with the dedicatory prayer, as that would apply, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious, but as that would apply to any of either of those two places, and then the sacrifice, the offering that those people brought of the temple to the Lord to be received by him, and how we bring that with our bodies, ourselves, for the spirit with the Lord, and how we bring that with our home for the Lord. And we don't always have control over what happens in our homes. And he knows that. He knows that. And I was thinking about the imperfect offering that is us and the imperfect offering that is our home. And we're bringing it before the Lord with that dedicatory prayer. And we're just like, this is the best I can give you this minute. This is the best I can give you the next minute. This is every minute. It's going to be a different minute. It's going to be a different set of conditions that we're offering. And yet it is always something we're bringing to him when we're being intentional about that. And so we might hesitate. We might be like, I'm just really not comfortable with that yet. I just got to clean the house first or whatever. Like, I just got to do this first, or I just got to do that first, or I'll do that when I pray later, or whatever. But it's always going to be imperfect to him. And he loves us anyway, all day, whether we do this or not. And yet, when we become intentional in that way, and I loved overlapping it with what she was sharing about the dedicatory prayer, and just thinking about, I want to dedicate me, and I want to dedicate my home in this personal way to my Heavenly Father, to be a sanctuary for his spirit. And it's like, with the term dedicate as an intentional approach in our minds, rather than a specific prayer of some kind. We could offer one if we wanted to. I'm not saying we can't. I'm just saying, have this be more of our approach when we consider ourselves and our spaces and our Heavenly Father, more of an attitude, more of a consider our lives, our spaces, ourselves this way. I don't know. I loved how that came into my mind as I was listening to you, lovely sister, sharing, and I just wanted to offer that in case that was something helpful.
Yeah, so beautiful. Yeah, I heard you speaking about the space of grace. How vital Christ's grace is in our lives, and believing that it's sufficient enough for all of it. I love that. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Karen. Yes. Oh, this has been so good. And I just love hearing it through your eyes, because I feel like and it's like another general conference where you get new things out of it, right? Just hearing how someone else's spirit prompted them through the same talk we all heard in a different way. I just feel like it's just a testament to God's love for all of us in our own particular place, in our specific place, right? Like, the atonement is all encompassing, but it's also so personal to us. And I just think that's the coolest principle. But I really just loved this. I had such a neat, interesting process through listening to conference, because I felt so grateful I felt so much of the power of covenants, and how so many of the talks were on the power of keeping our covenants, and that when we keep our covenants with God, we strengthen our relationship. There were so many promises given, right? That it's all going to be okay if we keep our covenants, right? And just so many amazing things that we can face confidence, face our lives with confidence. And I just saw this interesting process in myself, as I was first so grateful and then on the temple garment, like, I love the temple garment, and I love the fact that we get to put on Jesus every day, right? We get to have him with us. He gets to cover us. in his protection, and that it's a representation of our inner hearts and how we feel and how much we love him and how we're striving to keep our covenants. And so it was so hope-filled. And then it was so interesting that as conference went on and things happen with your families and kids don't come and they're not watching or participating, then you start to go, dang it, these kids aren't participating in these covenants. They're not keeping their covenants to God. And so it was interesting because one of the really powerful things that came to me was, man, when we choose our covenants, when we choose the Savior, we're also choosing our families, because the Savior is what makes, and our temple covenants are what makes it so we can be with our families forever. And that was so amazing to me, but then it was also so sad to me, right? Like in that same thing of, wait, what does that mean then for people who aren't choosing their covenants and their families, right? Like that, it brought this sadness, but then it was just so cool as I kept going back to Jesus and going back to my covenants. And again, it was that lesson of what can I control? And you don't need to be sad about these things that are not in your control. I've got it. Like, it was almost like him saying to me, today's not the end. I've got it. I'm reaching out for them. So many people have mentioned, and you just get to joy in the confidence of your covenants and don't cast away your confidence. And I just thought that was such a cool thing to me as I reviewed my notes and the process of Heavenly Father helping me to come back to owning my own field of, this is what I can do. I can joy in my covenants and feel the blessings and then trust that God has everything, right? He's got it. And I can do what I can do, and I don't need to worry and lose my confidence in worrying about things I don't control, because that's how I feel when I'm worrying about things outside of my control or my own covenants of myself. I lose my confidence. And so I'm like, it just recommitted me to fight for my confidence by being close to God, and don't let Satan steal my confidence in God and my own covenants, because that is my greatest goal, is to keep my covenants. And so I can have the peace and joy that by doing that, regardless of all the rest, even the people I love in their situations right now, if they are keeping their covenants. So that was a really cool blessing from Heavenly Father, because I think we all have these wrestles of, wow, this is so joyful. But then how do I not feel sad for people that aren't experiencing the joy of it? But it just helped me to recenter back on the Savior and its trust, and it's keeping my covenants. And those are the things I need to focus on. And then I can feel the joy and the confidence through him. So I was just so grateful and loved the conference and that little blessing from Heavenly Father to help me come full circle to feel the joy again. So
that's so cool. That's so cool. I love the way that you spoke that. It's obvious that the Spirit taught you something super important, like how to use the language of your covenants in eternal truth reality. But what the Spirit taught you about it was like this beautiful puzzle piece. Here you go. So cool. I'm so glad you shared that with us, because it is so important to connect the light and the truth that we receive to Christ's gospel, right? And so for you to speak it the way you just did, so helpful for all of us. Thanks for sharing what you learned. You were supposed to share that. So good. Ladies, we're out of time. That's sad. There's some really cool things that we want you to know about that BJ's gonna share. And then there's a really cool song that I totally know how to share now, practiced. We tried to play it in the last meeting and we weren't able to, but we're gonna play it after BJ does the announcements and things as we go out. So if you have time, it has a message of just the internal battle that we can have with our identity, with hearing truth, and how that can separate us from Jesus Christ and what he thinks of us, and that hearing him is vital to staying in our truth and being connected to Jesus Christ. So beautiful. Yeah, so much love. Thank you, ladies. Thank you for being with us today, Warrior Moms. I invite you to make a donation at the top of our website, mothersyouknow.org. Any amount you can afford today will help us keep Mothers Who Know services free for all moms. Thank you so much for your generosity. Moms, remember your divine identity and great worth. Continue in your courageous efforts to support God's great work. Notice the miracles you see every day, the evidence of the Savior's love and mercy. Find the message in your message. Reach out and share the principles you learn in Mothers Who Know with other mothers. You are God's secret weapon for good in this world. Finally, a few pieces of information for you. I recommend a few other podcast channels to listen to, like Dragons Do They Fight podcast. That includes interviews and stories with those that have struggled and overcome something in their life. And the Eternal Warriors podcast, hosted by two YSA age young men who share their story, teach valuable lessons, and interview special guests. You can follow us on our social media pages on Facebook under mothersyouknow.lcs or search for Mothers Who Know, and on Instagram, username @mothers_who know. Last, if you would like additional support and training, please go to mompowertraining.com to sign up for the next 8-week Mom Power Training class for all moms. You can also go to the Mothers Who Know website at mothersyouknow.org or our parent company, Life Changing Services, at lifechangingservices.org to learn more about our excellent services to support you and your loved ones. Thank you so much for listening today. Please feel free to email me anytime with questions or to set up a complimentary 30-minute appointment to visit. Please email me at mothersyouknow@lifechangingservices.org. Looking forward to hearing from you amazing moms. See you next time.